Coming up at 7:25, we've got the two grand slam, a chance to win $2,000. Can you get all 10 questions right? Talking Ben Johnson to the Bears, comparing heartbreaking losses this year and last year for the Lions, and the golf conversation. Penei Sewell sounding off in the locker room over the weekend, defending his quarterback from the blame.
Well, to whom much is given, much is expected. When a team wins in football, who gets a lot of praise?
Quarterback.
Quarterback. When a team loses, who's going to take a lot of the strays?
Quarterback.
Quarterback. And so it's not surprising. And when you play the way Jared Goff played, he deserves a lot of the blame. And he's not going to shy away from it.
No, he acknowledged it after the game.
Yeah, he's got to play better in moments like that for this team to even have the hope of going to another NFC championship game, let alone the Super Bowl.
Look, I respect Penei Sewell. He might be the best player on this team. He's a leader. He's got his guys back. I have no issue with that. But to be confused as to why the guy who committed four turnovers is receiving a large portion of criticism...
Well,
Penei's smarter than that.
He's smarter than that, but he also sees more than we see. And there's a lot of people that aren't going to see, you know, Glasgow at a very important moment allow on third down, allow somebody to get in to hit Jared Goff, which ultimately ends up causing the fumble.
But like, you made the point, and I think intelligently, got to protect the ball.
Got to protect the ball. Yes, but I'm saying he's not the only on that play. That was not the only breakdown.
Okay, what about his first pick, which was a pick six, where he didn't take the open man, threw it right to a guy who hadn't even fully run the route into coverage, sailed the throw, and gave the other team a touchdown.
That's on him,
right? And then before the half, ball placement leads to an interception when you got points in your back pocket driving. And again, those drives were pivotal to stay within a one possession.
Right. Well, I'm not saying that. You know, there are interceptions that are on the quarterback. There are other interceptions that quarterbacks throw, and I'm talking to generalities here, that a receiver runs the wrong route, it may not look like it, or he doesn't go across the face of a safety or something he's supposed to do that leads to an interception. That wasn't the case in the interception that the first interception that Jared Goff threw. But in terms of the fumble, yes, it is ultimately on him to secure the ball and understand when the pocket's breaking up. That's why I'm shocked that a veteran of his experience didn't do that. But there are other breakdowns of why he got hit.
If Sewell comes out and says, you know, I got to do my job better, like, I understand that, right? Like, internalizing it, knowing that we're a team and we all do this together. But I don't know why so many fans are hesitant to blame Jared Goff. Is it because we have this emotional attachment? Like,
well, I think they're hesitant to go all in on someone because then it's the belief that, well, he can never do it, or that's, you know, they don't want to be wrong about how they felt before the game.
So then that's the question, is like, how illuminating was that? Can you win a Super Bowl with Goff, and that performance may have shaken people's confidence?
It's shaken mine, and I want to get mad at myself here first before I say anything I have to say. First off, I wish I would have seen and at least opened my mind to the possibility that the Jared Goff that played in Houston was going to show up in the same game that the defense from the Buffalo game showed up, because that's what I watched. There was a merger of Jared Goff in Houston, the five interception game, and the Lions defense in the Buffalo game. And that game came to fruition. It merged together, and that's what happened Saturday. If people don't want to blame Jared Goff, look, what's Penei Sewell supposed to say? How is he even asked a question? I'd actually like to wonder what did he go there, or was he asked about Jared Goff? You know, he's certainly hearing the narrative out there, or maybe it's not a narrative, because, look, Jared Goff is a limited quarterback. He's a tier two quarterback, and the Lions are going to be challenged to win with him, and it goes back to the things we talked about when they got him, that they have to golf-proof it. And I think the offense got far away from that in terms of being a physically pounding running football team. The third down play, you should have run the football. You were absolutely tearing them up on the ground against a 30th ranked run D. Look, you have to reel back in Jared Goff. The last two seasons, he threw 12 picks last year. He threw 15 this year, including the playoff game. That's too many, right? You don't win in the NFL throwing that many interceptions. And John's right. Maybe one gets tipped and this or that. I'll tell you this right now. He's been sloppy with the ball in the pocket this season. He lost 7 fumbles, including the playoff game this year. The first lost fumble was Saturday night. There were balls on the ground. His ball security has to get better. They have to protect him better. Pass protection's been bad this year. Let me throw this at you. You won in Houston, and they got away with one,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Guess what his quarterback rating was that game?
Tell me.
59.7. Guess what his quarterback rating was on Saturday night?
Right around the same?
59.7.
Yeah.
It blew me away when I looked at that. And if you go back to his Super Bowl performance against the Patriots, it was 57.9. This is who he is. He's going to have games like this two or three times a season, maybe more. And you got to overcome that. And the Lions are going to be challenged. That's why you're challenged. You don't have a franchise, like you don't have a tier one guy.
Right. But there's not a lot of tier one guys.
Right. And so you have to realize what you have here.
Right. And now the task is they have Goff-proofed the offense, but they need to make sure as play callers they keep it Goff-proofed. He can make a lot of throws and make good decisions on some third and eights. We saw it all season long. He also has the propensity to try and do too much, as we saw in the first interception. He looks past a wide-open tight end in Sam Laporta and tries to go downfield because he wants a chunk play. It's about discipline. It's about him taking a look at that and saying, no matter the situation, I have to take what's available to me. I can't get greedy. But to take it and Goff-proof the team, to take it to the next level, they need a better defense. And this year they had a better defense, but most of it was, you know, hanging out with Red Cross.
Right. The defense bailed them out in Houston because they still had Carlton Davis and
Aleem McNeil.
Yeah.
And Meek Robertson. Yeah, I mean, they had the whole complement of guys.
Which, when you have a QB rating
Hutch
under 60, your chances of winning are pretty slim, and that has nothing to do with the defense.
You're right. That guy is still in there. The guy that McVay gave up on. That guy is still in there. Detroit did a lot to build him up, support him. And to his own credit, I think his game did grow and mature.
Sure.
But that guy is still there. There are some limitations with Jared Goff.
Right. And you have to always understand what your limitations are. You have to understand more than anybody else, what are you bad at? What are the risks that you have or that you bring to the table, and try and minimize those? And he didn't do that Saturday night.
Securing the ball and taking a sack is sometimes an okay thing to do.
Yes. He was the biggest reason they lost that playoff game.
Taking that sack would not have taken them out of field goal range. Hell, taking that sack may not have even taken them out of going for it on fourth down.
Potentially, yeah. Look, he was the biggest reason they lost that game. Flat out. Not the defense. Not Ben Johnson doing Zoom interviews. Jared Goff was the biggest reason they lost that football game. But he's played four playoff games in Detroit, and he was good enough to win three of them. Yeah. Right? I include last year's NFC title game as a game he was good enough to win.
Yeah.
So what I don't want to do is overreact as a reformed Goff hater. I'm trying to avoid the temptation to go, see, he's not that good. Last year, three really good playoff games, good enough to get this team to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they have to support him. Clearly, you have to run the ball. Clearly, the offensive coordinator is going to be a very important hire moving forward.
And DC.
But specifically for Goff, who is going to have some input, the OC is going to be critically important. And you also have no choice. He's not going anywhere. He's a quarterback next season. You got to make it work with him. They had the number one offense this season. Even in that game, they had 500 yards of offense in the loss. He just can't turn the ball over. He just can't spiral the way he did a little bit at the end in LA and what he's done in, to Gov's point, spots, games here or there throughout the season. It just can't happen in the biggest games.
Turnovers are terminal. It's a terminal illness. Yeah.
John, we got nearly a full bank of calls here. We can't take everybody. Who's your favorite? Pick a favorite.
Let's go to three.
All right, Kevin in St. Clair, you're on 97.1. Kev, good morning.
Good morning. Hopefully I can help you guys out here. The biggest thing is I blame myself for loss. Obviously, I wasn't on the field. I blame myself for not adjusting my expectations. They lost too much on the defense to be able to sustain. And going down Saturday, my wife's like, what do I expect if they lose? I said, I'm going to have to go through the five stages of grief. Like, yesterday, I watched the game, no emotion involved. We were unprepared, plain and simple. It was by design that every kickoff, Khalif Raymond wasn't getting the ball. He was doing anything to try and get the ball and kick off the play hero. And the one time he had to come across the field to get it 3 yards deep in the end zone and lost us yards because he only got it up to the 19-yard line. They were overprepared. We were underprepared. The defense allowed too much separation. Detroit, we lost this game. There is nobody to blame. I was the same as you guys. thinking of every excuse walking out of there Saturday night of what it was. Guess what? Kellen Moore interviewed for Dallas' job on Friday, and they still won. Our coordinators interviewed a week before, and we still lost. We were not prepared.
Yeah, I just
what stage of grief are you in?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm in acceptance. I'm over it. We had a great season. I don't care that we lost anymore. It was still a great season. We broke a lot of records. We were the best offense. I'm happy.
Man, I wish I could work my way through it like you have. That's impressive.
I can't do great season. I don't know if delusion is one of the steps because I can't. I know he said he is now in the process of resetting those expectations given all the injuries, but I feel like that's a coping mechanism. That's not honest. You really thought this team could beat the Commanders even with this defense. I feel like that's a coping mechanism.
Well, it's just being able to turn the page quicker than some.
Yeah.
And I usually get there quicker as well. And I've started to get there when you talk about acceptance. I don't know that I'll ever accept that they lost this game. It's an unacceptable loss. But then you start thinking about next year and getting Aleem McNeil back. Having Za'Darius Smith opposite Aiden Hutchinson, that in and of itself starts to get you excited about what the possibilities are. But it doesn't yet get me over what happened on Saturday night. And honestly never will, because this is, if they were going to lose a game because of the injuries on defense, it should have happened in the NFC Championship game against the better competition.
248-539-9797. We've got the Lions lines. We'll get to those phone calls as the hour rolls. We got the news. We got two grand slam, but stay tuned. We're going to keep talking Lions football. It's 97.1.
Hey, traffic was a little bit slower on the way in. Not that there was a lot of traffic, but it was because the roads were a little bit slick, a little bit of snow last night. And if you get injured in a car accident, it's not your fault because there's crazy drivers everywhere. You need an injury attorney who is going to be responsive to your needs and aggressive against the insurance companies. That injury attorney you need to hire is David Femininio. You can pick up the phone right now and speak with David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Yeah, a lot of schools are closed in Metro Detroit today and tomorrow because of this just blast of bitter cold that hit us on Monday. So I'm sure if you have kids, they're probably home.
They're home.
There is
they're
a
sleeping.
Long, long list of school closures, including my daughter. She's home. Even though she's not technically
yet,
in school.
Yeah, she can't yet celebrate. She's probably still at the age of, why can't I go to school?
She has no idea.
She thinks that's fun.
I told her yesterday, I'm like, you can't go to school because it's so cold out. And she doesn't care. She's a baby, but whatever. So along with the cold and the school closures, hospitals are also seeing more frostbite patients.
Sure.
So be careful out there. Experts say cold winds could cause frostbite to expose skin in as short as 30 minutes. So if you're outside, make sure you have all of the layers you need. Make sure you have the scarves, the gloves. They even said if you're going to be out there and walking, you might want to throw on some goggles just to have less of your face exposed to the cold. So just be prepared. Could also cause hypothermia as well. And obviously the coldest temperatures are expected today and tomorrow morning. So be prepared, right? Well, after being offline for 12 hours, TikTok is back. So the app went dark on Saturday, and access to those people who already had the app was then restored. And then in one of his first moves in his new administration, President Trump opted to delay the TikTok ban for 75 days in this executive order on Monday. So there's some time. It's funny, this because I'm not on TikTok, it's one of those things that just means nothing to me, but I understand for those people who have built their career, if they're social media influencers, content creators, whatever it may be, or you own a business and you advertise.
There's some people's whole lifestyle that is wrapped up in it.
So I completely understand. So the order instructs the Attorney General not to take any action to enter, this law that we'll ban. So anyway, they want to
Hit the pause button.
Yes.
See if they can work out a deal.
Exactly. So you got 75 days at least with the app right now. Raiders star, the defensive end, Max Crosby, is jealous of Dan Campbell's Lions. So he admitted that he was kind of I guess you could say, selfishly mad at them during NFL Network's Good Morning Football. So he's from Michigan, right?
Yep.
Born in Lapeer, calls himself a diehard Lions fan, moved to Texas for a little while, but came back, played at Eastern Michigan before he went to the NFL. So listen to what he had to say.
That is the sentiment a lot of players around the NFL have. And it's the first time, there's a lot of firsts that we're dealing with. It's coordinators being coveted and being hired at other places. It's also players around the NFL, when their contracts come up, they're going to talk to their agents to say, hey, is there a path to get to Detroit? Along with other teams. They're not the only team that people would like to go play for, but Dan Campbell is one of those guys that players want to play for.
Wish Max was a little louder about that, I don't know, 3 months ago?
There's always a chance.
Yep.
Maybe this offseason. Make it happen.
Gas prices in Michigan are up 12 cents from a week ago at $3.15 per gallon. So the price is 8 cents more than this time last month and 11 cents more than a year ago. AAA says Michigan motorists are seeing higher prices at the gas pump this week. And if crude oil prices continue to rise, gas prices will likely follow suit. So the most expensive gas prices are in Metro Detroit, Ann Arbor, and Saginaw.
There you have it. It's time for the Two Grand Slam.
I'm excited to give away some money. This could be a really lucky day for someone. Their chance to win $2,000 in just 60 seconds, right?
I just hope that we're on a good path of competency.
Let's hope so.
Yes. It started off rough. Our last one got six, and he was competent.
He did. He played well. So
yes.
Our contestant, 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. $2,000 if they get them all right. Super simple. If you don't know one, pass. And if there's time, we'll get back to it.
This morning, it's Nick in Wyandotte. Nick, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. I'm just driving to work. Still recovering from Saturday, as everyone else, but I'm ready to play.
All right, Nick, I hope this is a better ending for you than it was on Saturday. So your time is going to start as soon as I start the first question. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Where did Saquon Barkley play in college?
Penn State.
What is the capital of Pennsylvania?
Pass.
This Lions wide receiver threw an interception last Saturday.
J-Mo.
Who started at quarterback for Notre Dame last night?
Pass.
Who currently leads the NFL playoffs in passing yardage?
Josh Allen.
Danny Wolf currently plays for this college basketball team.
Who? Pass.
Who played Ant-Man in the movie Ant-Man?
Oh, Paul Rudd.
Woodhaven is located in this Michigan county.
Wayne County.
Who currently leads the Red Wings in points?
Pass.
Who played Greg Falker in Meet the Parents?
That was Ben Stiller.
What is the capital of Pennsylvania?
Pittsburgh.
Who started at quarterback for Notre Dame last night?
Don't know.
Danny Wolf currently,
Five. Yep.
Not bad, Nick.
Right down the middle.
Yep.
Oh,
you sound disappointed.
I'm happy about it.
Okay.
I'm happy about it.
Okay. All right. It's a good way to start your Tuesday.
Some of them that I didn't know and I knew I didn't know, but I'm okay with it.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, at least the ones you didn't know, you passed on quickly, so you got a chance to go and get a bite at the apple a couple of times.
Absolutely. And just one comment on the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lions, they got humbled. And that's as simple as I can put it.
They certainly did.
Yep.
Certainly did.
No doubt about that. Nick, we'll put you on hold. Make sure you get paid. Quick math, that's $125.
Yeah.
Not bad.
That's a good Tuesday.
And he's disappointed.
Before he even gets to work.
I know. Well, maybe he can use it as motivation to get more the next time. 125, let's go through it. Saquon Barkley played at Penn State, the capital of Pennsylvania. He passed, and then he guessed Pittsburgh. Neither was
Harrisburg.
What we needed Harrisburg. Yeah. Lions receiver that threw an interception. He knew that was J-Mo. Riley Leonard, Notre Dame's quarterback last night. Who leads the NFL in passing yards for the postseason?
Unfortunately, we saw him, and he's had two games to add to those numbers. Jaden Daniels.
Danny Wolf currently plays for this college basketball team.
That would be Michigan.
Who played Ant-Man in the movie Ant-Man?
He nailed that one with Paul Rudd.
Woodhaven is located in which county?
Wayne. Nice job.
Who leads the Red Wings in points?
Lucas Raymond.
I thought he was going to guess maybe like a Larkin. Raymond's what we needed. He passed, didn't get back to it. Who played Greg Fokker in Meet the Parents? Ben Stiller. He got that correct. Two Grand Slam is brought to you by Femininio Law. Your next chance to win is on Thursday at 7:25. We'll keep talking about Ben Johnson. It's the big story today. Some of you think he's a traitor. One call says he's a sellout. Can't wait to hear that opinion next. 97.1. That didn't take long. News broke yesterday. Bears are hiring Ben Johnson.
No, and it's not going to take long, probably for Aaron Glenn. We'll probably hear. I know he's visiting the Jets today.
Yeah, I expect by lunchtime.
Yeah, he'll be on his way. And Dan Campbell mentioned it on Monday. Hey, I'm expecting to lose both coordinators.
Yeah. Not a surprise.
No.
How Lions fans are taking it? Bit of a surprise to me.
I don't think it should be. I mean, I don't agree with the he's a traitor, or you know he shouldn't have taken the in division job, but I'm not necessarily surprised.
There's nothing wrong with taking an NFL job. He's stayed the last two off seasons. I don't know. I feel like people come across kind of bratty. He's a traitor. He's a sellout. He never should. He should have stayed here.
We come across as fans, and it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not going to sit here. If you think he's a traitor, I don't agree. But it's how you feel.
But what is it based on?
Well, it's based on rivalries. It's based. I mean, it's.
Are you afraid of him with the Bears? Not you, John, but the people who see him going to Chicago.
Well, I think some are.
Okay,
sure. With Caleb Williams and the receivers that they have now, they don't have the offensive line. They don't have the run game. They've got a pretty good defense.
I just feel like he's taken the most arrows, and I think they should have run the ball more on Saturday. But I feel like he's taken the most arrows. Like,
I disagree. Goff has taken more arrows, and Goff is going to continue to take more arrows.
No, but I think people have conveniently shifted it to a guy who's no longer a Lions coach. They go, see, he was distracted. See, his game plan was a problem. See. Guys, every one seat's going to have their coaches get interviewed, including Kansas City. They had their OC and their DC both do interviews. Guess what? They still put a game plan together. They found a way to win. Detroit didn't, and it's mostly because of Jared Goff. But people don't like to blame Jared Goff because Jared Goff. They don't want to blame Dan Campbell because we all like Dan Campbell, right? We all like Jared Goff, but those guys are more responsible to me than Ben Johnson was. But now it's convenient to be like, hey, good riddance, this scumbag. He left us. He's a traitor. I think it's convenient more than it is accurate. But we want to hear from you guys. Is he a traitor? And how do you feel about him going in division to the Bears? I also think we should talk about what it means for the Lions. John, I think there's a fair question here of how much of this offense is Ben Johnson and how much of this offense is Dan Campbell, and it's going to stay intact. Let's get to the phones. Tim and Lansing, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
So as far as Ben Johnson's concerned, I do see him as a traitor. But it's not because I'm worried about him. It's not because he left. I expected him to leave. It's the fact he went to the Bears 24 hours after that performance that they put forward. You know, I mean,
would you feel different if it was 48 hours or if it was a week later? Is it just that he did it so quickly?
Maybe a little bit. And I mean, I know I'm going a little off the deep end with this, but think about this. He has an interview with the Bears, right? He's in the playoffs with us. He's dialing up J-Mo deep balls in the fourth quarter. Do you think he wanted the Lions to win the Super Bowl when he knew he was taking the Bears job? I think the fix might have been in. I mean,
if the Bears wanted him, they were going to wait until whenever the Lions season was done,
that,
and they would love to have the coach come in who just won a Super Bowl.
But would that coach want his division rival to have just won the Super Bowl?
He would have wanted to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. He would have won a Super Bowl.
Okay, do you think he was going to throw away the entire
season and say? I don't see,
John, this is the stuff I'm talking about.
Well, but okay, hold on here.
No.
Tim, let me ask you this. I don't know who you work for, how much you make. I don't care what that number is. But if they, if somebody came, your number one competitor, a huge rival to the whatever company or whatever industry you work in, and they said, we're going to give you a promotion, give you more responsibility, we're also going to pay you four, maybe even five times as much as you're currently making. You're not going to take that job?
No, I would take that job, but you don't think there's a chance that the competing company is going to say, hey, before you leave, why don't you mess with their software? I'm joking about that. But in reality, I honestly think the biggest thing about it is just the fact he went to a division rival. Like, I grew up a Michigan State fan. I haven't hated a coach like this since Saban skipped out for LSU. And, you know, I think it's the chemistry of the team. It's the way they're built. It's the way Dan Campbell talks. And for one of his boys to go to a division rival, it almost seems like it's an intentional shot at Dan. I mean, I don't see how there can't be animosity between the two. Out of all the places he could have went, he picked Chicago.
Was it the best job? I think Dan probably said, hey, congratulations, happy for you, and we'll see you twice a year.
Was it not the best job? Right?
I mean, you...
And you could debate it, but in his eyes, he goes, hey, I got a number one overall pick on a rookie contract. I get to step in here, call plays, compete. The Raiders had no path to a quarterback, and he may have looked at Trevor Lawrence and said, damaged goods. He's too far gone. I don't know, but if I can't fault Ben Johnson for taking one of 32 head coaching jobs. He had been patient. He had waited through this now the third cycle and took the job he thought was best for him. The response from the Lions fans should be, we're going to kick his ass two times a year. But the idea that, I mean, that's a real phone call we just took. He called the JMO play so they would lose the game.
So, it's being reported. And I don't know that we'll ever know the exact figure because they don't publicize what head coaches are making. We usually hear the amount of years in terms of the length of the contract.
For stability purposes,
It's being reported by Mike Florio that the initial contract figures are $13 million per season. I don't know that there's anybody listening right now that wouldn't make that jump if they were the OC of the Lions to Chicago for $13 million a year. It was being reported that he was making around $2 million. So that's more than six times what he was making here. I mean, let's use some common sense.
Come on, guys.
It's not being a traitor. It's simply going for more money. Yeah. And it's not being greedy.
It's not at all. You can look at it like this. He came back. He gave us another chance to try to win a Super Bowl. I don't think he self-sabotaged them on Saturday. The JMO thing is fascinating. I've seen that play brought up so much nationally and even locally, we had some calls yesterday. That was the height of hubris and getting too cute. And did you like it when he ran the trick plays earlier that game or earlier this season? That was a key part of this offense, was keeping teams on their heels. You liked it when it worked. We're just going to do the thing where it didn't work. Therefore, he's a bozo. I think that's, again, that's
this
lazy.
This is after we just saw one that was a pitch to Montgomery and a shuttle pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown. It was absolutely beautiful.
Or JMO's touchdown earlier in the game when Teddy Bridgewater's in the game. They dial up the perfect deceptive play. If JMO just throws it out of bounds or eats it, are we complaining that Ben Johnson screwed up? No, probably not. And again, I think overall, I wanted to see them run the ball more, feed Jahmyr Gibbs more. But
sure,
the idea that he came in and his heart wasn't in it, or even with the caller said, actively sabotaging it is silly.
Yeah, it is. It's ludicrous.
Okay, 248-539-9797. Let's get to Damian in Southfield. Damian, you're on 97.1.
How you guys doing?
What's good.
Great. With the whole Ben Johnson situation, you pretty much hit it on the head. But the thing I wanted to bring up, it's if you look at it, it's the best situation of the available vacancies. You got Dallas, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, New Orleans, and the Jets available probably until Aaron Glenn signs. And it's if you look at it in regards to the pieces they have, maybe outside of Dallas, but I mean, I don't know if I want to go into Dallas. It's the best opportunity, so I really don't blame them. And we kind of got to be better fans and like not count people's pockets or you know, dictate where other grown men go to, you know, make money and raise their families. But I mean, yeah, we can be mad because it's a rival, but that's business, man. That's business. Like, you can't do anything about that.
Business. That's what this is. It's a business.
Yeah. And there was a comment on Twitch, and I can't figure out where it was. The essence of it was, love it when people tell you where you should work and how much you should make.
No kidding.
Like, I mean, this is a decision for him and his family. And you're talking about $13 million. Now, we could debate the best job available. And it may have ultimately, I know he brought up Dallas. If you're talking about job security, now, they have been overly loyal, which seems bizarre to me for Jerry Jones, but they have allowed coaches to coach longer than anybody else without success and stuck with them. Mike McCarthy was there until his contract expired.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. You got to have Jerry as the GM, though.
I understand that, but if you're just simply looking for money and security and years,
and they got some stars,
and they have a quarterback that is, I'm not a big Dak Prescott fan, but he is an established quarterback. They've got CeeDee Lamb, they've got Micah Parsons, they've got.
I don't believe Ben interviewed for the Cowboy.
No, I don't
job,
think
though.
He did. Either.
No, that's maybe the only opening that he didn't.
Well,
so,
and some timing. Would argue the timing of it.
Yeah,
they
because
didn't let Mike go until after the bye week.
Texter says 100%. That caller was right. Ben Johnson was putting tape on video with the JMO play. Okay, well, it screwed up and they hired him anyway. Like, I don't think that was right. Him trying to get the... We're going to fight this narrative for days, I think.
We'll fight it right up until Chicago plays Detroit.
I guess so. I do want to get to the Lions part of all this, John. Like, how much of this offense is going to change without Ben Johnson here? We'll get to that next, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and I think you should as well, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you as they did me and work with you to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. We're all different. We all have different life moments that happen. They'll adjust and they'll be with you every step of the way. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. They volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All right, John, what happens to the Lions offense without Ben Johnson? How big a drop-off is there?
It's hard to know because we still don't know what the total impact is going to be. Does Ben Johnson take anybody with him? Does Hank Fraley go with him? Does Mark Brunell, Antoine Randle out? Like, who is enticed to go with him to Chicago? Maybe nobody. I don't know. In regards to the offense, sure, there's going to be a difference. I don't know that it means there's going to be a drop-off. If it's simply a relationship issue between whoever that next coordinator and Goff is and the familiarity of what to call, when to call it, and how to coach him up, how to make him comfortable, how to receive when Jared Goff comes to the sidelines or comes with ideas during the week, is the next coordinator going to be as open or as to be able to handle those situations? We don't know that. This is ultimately Dan Campbell's offense. It's his show, and I think he's going to hire a guy that he believes will be Ben Johnson 2.0. Maybe better, maybe not as good. We don't know that until it happens. But to think that, you know, continuity is a big deal. And if there is a lack of continuity, it certainly can have an effect.
He spoke yesterday and said he expected to lose both coordinators. He's lost one. It likely will be two by the end of the day today. And he said they're looking for the right guy. Ideally, that is also the best guy. They go hand in hand. but he wants to keep doing what they're doing. On defense, he wants to run man. Offensively, Goff's going to have a say. They want to keep things going the way they're doing this offensively. They're the number one offense in the league. The question will be whoever takes over, they won't have that rapport, that rhythm. It may take time. They might not be the number one offense next year. But I also thought the most telling thing Dan Campbell said yesterday, he was asked about Anthony Lynn, right? Because that's where it can go wrong. And he said he learned in that process that he has to be, and I'm paraphrasing, like more involved offensively.
Right.
Which to me says if he's been more involved offensively since late 2021, this is just as much his offense as it is Ben Johnson's. And we're not going to stare down this wholesale shift offensively. They're still going to be one of the better offenses in football. Right. And it makes sense. The line is still intact, albeit getting older. They still have an All-Pro and Amon-Ra St. Brown. They still have two very good running backs. The offense should still be, can I say top five?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it should
okay.
be. Yeah. It's not unreasonable to think that. Could there be steps back? Sure. But it's unreasonable to think that it's still going to remain one of the best offenses in the NFL. And for Dan Campbell to, you know, to say those things about, you know, I'm still going to be very involved. And what I learned from Anthony Lynn is that I need to be more involved. Like, and you learn that as a first-time head coach, where you make a hire and you hand the reins over fully to a coordinator on either side of the ball. And it maybe it doesn't fit your vision. And I a lot of respect for Dan to say, okay, it didn't fit the vision. And he did it in a respectful manner where he didn't fire him right away. He just said, I'm going to take over play calling because I have a vision for what this offense should be. And remember the discussion before year two when he did name Ben Johnson as offensive coordinator? It didn't happen until, what, midsummer. And then it was, well, who's actually going to be calling the plays? Is it going to be Dan Campbell and it's just Ben Johnson in name only? And then it wasn't until, I don't know, a couple of weeks into training camp where he said, yeah, Ben Johnson's going to be one calling the plays on game day. It's still the concepts, what Dan Campbell wants, he's going to find in a coordinator and he's going to dictate how that coordinator calls the offense, how they put the game plan together. It's all going to be Dan Campbell.
Greg, can we play a little bit of Campbell from yesterday, what he wants with his offensive and defensive coordinators? What do you make of it?
He's going to get the guy that he wants.
Is it an internal guy?
I mean, it very well could be. All right, so let's talk about some of those candidates. I already mentioned Mike Brunell, quarterback coach. Tanner Engstrom, passing game coordinator.
Kind of felt like he was in the Ben Johnson in waiting role.
Yeah. Hank Fraley, we know he's had an interview. It sounds like he's got a second interview with Seattle for their OC job. The question is for him, is he going to have a sophisticated enough passing game? Because it's very different. And I'm not saying he can't.
Yeah.
That's going to be the question. And he's going to have to answer those questions, whether it's internally or externally.
If I was Ben Johnson, I would offer Hank Fraley the offensive coordinator job in Chicago. I'd still call the plays, but I'd give Hank a bump in title and pay, and I know how important an offensive line is going to be for me getting it right in Chicago. That would be the thing where Detroit would have to sit there and say, well, are we going to offer him the OC job to match? Do we want him calling plays, or is it somebody else? You see how this can start to force some really tough decisions.
Yeah. And so when you look outside, what are some of the names? Now, these aren't going to be all the names. Some of them people are going to look at and go, no way. How about Josh McCown, Vikings quarterback coach,
yeah,
former player, because we know he likes former players.
Yeah,
but a guy that you know did a tremendous job. How much of it was head coach? How much of it was quarterback coach in regards to developing a quarterback and creating a relationship with the quarterback? Because part of that with Ben Johnson was the relationship that he had with Jared Goff. That's a name.
How about a couple guys who played in the league, played quarterback? One of them is a Super Bowl champion, Doug Peterson.
You start looking at guys that have head coaching experience along with play calling experience. I mean, defensively, if one of the top names that's going to come up, especially since he's got local connections, is Robert Saleh.
Yeah. And that job could be open any minute now. Aaron Glenn is going to New York to visit with the Jets today. They don't want to let him leave the building. So there may be two openings before you know it. 248-539-9797. More of the Lions phone calls in the mix on this. It's everything. We've been talking about Ben Johnson and how much you fear losing him. Whose offense is this really? It's 97.1.